Good morning. If you have your Bible handy, I encourage you to open it to Matthew chapter 15. We want to look at a couple of verses of Scripture there this morning. I want to tell you about my friend Pablo, who I used to work with in Miami. He always thought he was kind of a funny guy. And we were riding around one day in the car going to lunch, and he said, "Hey, you know, every Latin name has the diminutive ito in order to make it a nickname, like Carlito, Pablito, Juanito, Joselito, Francisco, Francisquito, whatever." Anyway, he said, when you go by the construction site, he said, watch what happens. He says, everybody responds to Ito. And so as we drove him by, or as we were driving by, he yells out, "Oye, Ito!" And all the heads of all the workers on the construction site all turned. And that was the funniest thing. It worked every time, he said. Well, you know, the Bible has an account of a head-turning event that caused Jesus to stop and look and turn his head in the same way that all those construction workers did. Matthew chapter 15. I want you to read with me, beginning at verse 21. "And then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.'" In this account, Jesus met a very desperate woman with a special needs child. In his parallel record of this event, Mark, in chapter 7, verse 26, he describes her as Greek, as Syrophoenician by birth. This woman tried all the pagan gods of her culture, but none could help. And then she heard that a Jewish miracle-working prophet was passing through the area. He was reported to have authority over demons. Maybe, just maybe, Jesus is different. I want you to notice in this passage two qualities of great faith. Two qualities of great faith. First, great faith endures discouragement. And watch what happens with this lady. Verse 23 down to verse 26. "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' And then she came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, please help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.'" Joanne had this cat. Don't have it anymore, but this cat's name was Callie. And we had to contain the cat in a certain part of the house because of a stairway that led out of the house, and the cat got there would go out, and the cat really wasn't an outdoor cat. It was indoors almost all the time. And so we had to keep this door closed, but the cat was always ready to get out and just absolutely persistent, wouldn't stop. When the door opened, cat ran out. We'd get the cat back in, close the door. When the door opened, cat ran out. And it didn't matter how many times, over and over and over and over, the cat just waited for the door to open and ran. Like this woman, Callie was persistent. In Callie's case, it was 24/7. Jesus refused to answer her. The disciples assumed that his silence was rejection, so they tried to make her go away. And then Jesus told her his blessings were intended only for Jews. If that was not discouraging enough, he then called her a dog. Her circumstances, the rebuke of the disciples, and the initial response of Jesus all added to the frustration that she was already experiencing as Satan attacked her and her daughter. But she endured through it all in great faith. Second, great faith expects provision. Look at verses 27 and 28. And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And here's the head turning. Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that hour. In Mark's account, Mark chapter 7, verses 29 and 30, Mark added more of Jesus' words. "Then he said to her, 'For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter.' And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed." Talk about learning to trust Jesus fully for needs to be met and patiently waiting for it to happen in the face of growing pressure and lack of provision. That night, I always remember when we were in seminary and the situation got to the place where we just weren't getting the finances weren't coming through in order to meet the needs as we needed them to. And as we sought to trust the Lord, it just seemed like things weren't happening. And we began to worry. And I began to worry and be concerned about how we're going to pay the bills, how the financial matters were going to be taken care of. And you know how people say that waking up in a cold sweat? Well, I experienced that one night as I was sleeping, and I began to think about these things in my sleep. And I woke up in that way, worrying about just how we were going to make it. That the resource wasn't there. And I got out of bed and I knelt down beside the bed to pray. And as I prayed, and I was reminded that God called us there. There was no doubt that God called us to seminary. And knowing that He called us there, also knowing that He would provide for us in that calling. And I prayed at that moment and turned everything over to the Lord. And then I got up and I went back to bed. And from that moment until this moment right now today, many, many years later, I don't worry. Oh, I'm tempted to worry. Oh, when situations get difficult, I begin to get concerned about it. But what I learned that night, I continue to follow to this day. To rather than begin to worry and begin to fret and get anxious about it, I turn it over to the Lord. And I trust Him. And I wait on Him. even though things get tense and difficult. God has never failed us. He has come through every time over these many years. But the question in our situation here is, why would Jesus lead this mother through such a humbling and difficult process before granting her request? I mean, his response seems really harsh to this woman. Not answering her, then saying that what he has isn't for her. He didn't come for anybody other than Israel, and the stuff he has is only for the children of Israel. It's like he just pushed her to this point. Well, the reality is that in situations, in tough situations, it often gets worse before it gets better. Everything this woman did, every time she asked, it seemed like the situation got worse. Jesus not responding to her when she cries out. The disciples telling her to leave. Jesus saying that he didn't come for her. Jesus saying that it's not, that what he has isn't for her. Calling her essentially a dog, seemingly insulting her. Well, the Bible demonstrates a common pattern of persistent faith, demonstrated through times of testing. Great faith expects provision, like this woman did. She was expecting Jesus to meet her need, and she was persistent in it. Abraham was tested, being asked to sacrifice his son Isaac, the son of promise, the only one who God said that the promise and the blessing would come through. Jacob wrestled with God all night before he was blessed. Joshua and Israel had to conquer fortified cities before they gained the promised land. David fought Goliath, and then he was exiled and on the run before he became king. Peter wrote that God tests our faith to develop in us faith that is much more precious than gold, 1 Peter 1:7. In his commentary on this passage, Matthew Henry said this. He said, "She demonstrated spiritual quickness and sagacity, recognizing that what seems to be against us can in the end be used for our benefit." Today, we would say that she was quick on her feet. She demonstrated great wisdom. She sought Jesus, the one with the power and authority to meet her needs. Too often, we turn to the world's resources to meet our needs. She heard of this prophet who could bring healing, who could do these mighty miracles. She went to him. She demonstrated great wisdom. She also demonstrated much humility. Listen, never confuse humility with weakness. This mother was a warrior fighting for her child. But she submitted herself to the God of the universe. Pride, listen. Pride in that situation, the way she was treated, seemingly, pride would have been offended, particularly by the dog comment. Pride would have returned insult for insult. Pride would have gone away because of pride, empty-handed. 1 Peter 5:5 says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." And she also demonstrated amazing tenacity. with the odds stacked up against her, she just pushed forward. When she got knocked down by circumstances and by criticism, she got back up. When others told her to quit because she was wasting Jesus' time, she continued to ask. Turn for a moment with me to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. 1 Kings 18, verse 41. It says, "Now Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up.'" Now remember, there had been no rain for 3.5 years, or 3 years, because of Elijah's prayer. And now, in the middle of that drought, 3 years in, Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the roar of a heavy shower." Hadn't rained for 3 days. For 3 years. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, but Elijah went to the top of Carmel, and he crouched down on the earth and put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go back 7 times. And it came about at the 7th time that he said, "Behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea." And he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, 'Prepare your chariot and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you.' In a little while, the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy shower. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel." Listen, Elijah prayed 7 times before he saw the first small cloud. That woman just kept being persistent. Jesus prayed the same prayer 3 times in the Garden of Gethsemane. That woman just kept being persistent, persistent, asking and asking. This story, let me tell you folks, this story is in the Bible to inspire us not to give up just because the hill is a difficult climb. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Listen, if Satan throws you down, don't stay down. Jesus is waiting to bless the one who keeps getting up and keeps pursuing him. He's waiting. He wants to meet your need. You need to keep getting up and keep pursuing him no matter what seems to be coming against you and hindering you and stopping you. In faith, continue to trust him and continue to ask. Let me ask you, what do you need Jesus to do for you today? Think about that for a moment. What is it that in your life, what is it that you need Jesus to do for you today? Would you reach out and ask him again? And continue to ask him until he responds. Would you do that? Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the testimony of this woman and her tenacious faith, just pursuing Jesus, expecting him to meet her need, and waiting for that to happen, continually asking and asking. And Father, I pray that everyone who's listening to or watching this message, that you would put it in their heart to, by faith, reach out to you with whatever the need is in their life. That they would be persistent to continue to seek you until you answer them. And Father, I know that your word demonstrates that you are a God who is ready and willing and wants to meet our needs. Father, I pray that this would be a special encounter with your people. demonstrating your power, filling their needs. Father, we just commit all this to you in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Do you know Jesus? Is He your Savior? You know, before asking all these things, I need to ask you if you know Jesus. Because He's doing this, and He's willing to do this, but He promises that He'll meet all of our needs. Do you know Jesus? Is He your Savior? Is He your Lord? Have you surrendered to Him as Lord of your life? Are you trusting Him to meet the needs? Do you know Him as Savior? Because you see, we all have come the same way, for all have sinned to fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. Why? Because God loves us. That's why He gave us the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And He demonstrated that love. Romans 5:8 says, "Then that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And all we need to do, God did everything for us. He sent Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. And all we have to do is acknowledge by faith that He died for us and He rose from the dead. And then in faith call upon Him. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the mouth we make confession, with the heart we believe unto righteousness. And for all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is Jesus your Savior? Is He your Lord? Then pursue Him and ask Him to meet your need. He wants to meet your need. Again, what do you need Jesus to do for you today? Reach out and ask Him. And if you don't get an answer right away, keep asking and keep asking. You have a great day.